Is it 8:30 yet? Okay, so let's get started. What I'm excited to do is to try to learn the laws of shofar and try to figure out how many tkios we have to blow and when we should blow them, what a shofar looks like. We don't have that much time till Rosh Hashanah if we meet once a week, but we'll try to see what we can fit in. So what you should have in front of you is the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. And the Mishnah begins Seder Tkios. So we're looking for sets of Tkios. And the first word after Seder Tkios is Shalosh. Rashi explains that the word shalosh means that whatever blasts we have to blow, we're going to have to blow them three times. So let's say, for example, we have a tkia, a trua, and a tkia. We call that tarat, tkia, trua, tkia. We take the resh of trua to differentiate it from a tkia. So that's called tarat. Tosus actually uses a different abbreviation. He calls it karak. He uses kuf and kuf for the tkia. Okay. Now Rashi's saying that the word shalosh here means that whatever your seder is, let's call it tarat, you're going to have to repeat it three times. And why is that so? So Rashi says, achas l'malchios, the achas l'zichronos, the achas l'shofros. Which tefillah are we referring to? I'll give you a few choices. Shachris, Mincha, or Ma'ariv. None of the above. We're referring to Musaf. So in the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah, we have three major parts. And those are Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. I guess you'd call Malchios kingship when you declare God as the king of the universe. Zichronos means remembrances. And we ask God to remember some of the good things and the covenants that he entered into with Klal Yisrael. And then shofros, meaning the blowing of the shofar. So these are the three major pillars that form the middle of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And Rashi's saying that for each one of these three, we need a set of blasts. Okay, so that's called shalosh. So we need three sets. Now, what are the sets made of? So the Mishnah goes on and says, shall shalosh shalosh. The blasts themselves, meaning each seder, one for Malchus, one for Zichronos and Shofros, are each one made up of three. Now, what are those three? So one of them is going to be Tkia Trua Tkia, what we call Tarat. The other is going to be Tkia Shvarim Tkia. That's going to be Tashat. And again, whenever I say that, I mean that's what we call it. Tosus calls it instead Karak or Kashak. Okay, and the third one is going to be what?
Shvarim Trua.
Excellent. Tkia Shvarim Trua Tkia. In other words, on the third set of three blasts, we're going to combine both the Trua and the Shvarim. So it's going to be Shvarim Trua. Now we have a number of questions to figure out over here. Some of these questions we're going to have to wait to answer. We can't answer them all at once. For example, my first question is why do we have to have three blasts? One for Malchus, one for Zichronos, one for Shofros. The second question we want to ask is why does each one of these sets require a different middle blast? Meaning, if the Torah requires us to blow a truo, let's blow three truos. Each one has to be sandwiched by what's called a tequila for now and a tequila achrea. So it's got to be introduced by a tequila, followed by a truo, and then followed by a tequila achrea. But why shvarim? And it gets even more complicated. Why do you need shvarim truo? In other words, mimanav shach. Take your choice. Either a truo is a truo or a truo is a shvarim. And now you're telling me, well, we're going to combine both Trua and Shvarim. The next question we have to ask is, are these requirements min haTorah? Are they Doraisa? Or are they Rabbinic? Are they Derabbanan? And finally, the last question we want to ask is, How do you measure a tkiya, a shvarim, and a trua? So the Mishnah itself says the following. Shear tkiya, what's the size of a tkiya, the length of a tkiya? Kishalosh truos. Now, as we go along, we're going to see, and this is going to be a big deal in Rashi, that the trua is made up of very short blasts. Rashi calls them koldu, kolos koldu. Koldu means the smallest amount you could imagine. Now, if the trua is made up of three notes, the total of which is the length of a tkiya. Now, by choosing the trua to measure the tkiya, the Mishnah is really cutting down the length of the tkiya, because if the Mishnah would have said that a tkiya is made up of three shvarim, in other words, the size of the tkiya is equal to three shvarim, that would have required a much longer note, because the shvarim are three times longer than each one of the shvarim is three times longer than the trua. So what is the shear of a tkiya? The Mishnah says kishalos truos. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says shalosh shel shalosh shalosh tkiya utruo tkiya l'chol achas v'yachas. So every set with regard to malchus, zichronos, and shofros is made up of three blasts. And what are those three blasts? The tkiya, the trua, and the tkiya. Okay. Now the Mishnah says that the shear of a tkiya is equal to three truos. Well, okay, fine. Now I'm supposed to know what the shear of three truos are, because again, I'm caught in the bind here. There's no way I can figure out the shear of tkiya unless I know the shear of a trua. Which means that once I get the shear of a trua down, I multiply that length by three and I get the shear of a tkiya. So now the Mishnah tells us, okay, so what's the shear of a trua? Shear trua, kishalosh yevavos. Okay, a trua equals three yevavos. What does three yevavos mean? Literally whimpers. Rashi says, shalosh kolos bi'alma kolshehu. These are three blasts, but just blast kolshehu. Kolshehu means without any size, the shortest possible blast. So you blow three of those blasts, Rashi says, and you have...
one trua.
Well, no, I don't know. Rashi says... What do you mean by one trua? You mean a trua?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Trua, right? Okay, if I say trua, you'll bear with me. Okay, you call it trua.
Oh,
okay, because you're from that shul. What's it called over there? The Spanish and Portuguese shul. Okay, fine. His father was the Gavai, may rest in peace, of the Amsterdam, the gigantic shul in Amsterdam. Which, by the way, if you want to visit it, go on Shabbos. It's a lot cheaper. Anyway. So the shear of a trua is shalosh yevavos. Okay, now you multiply shalosh yevavos and multiply it by a certain number. I'm going to ask you what that number is, and you get the shear of a tkiya. So what's that x? Are you with me, Rabosai? I'm saying that a tkiya is made up of a certain length. Correct? And the Mishnah identifies that length as three truas. So now I want to know what a trua is, and then I can multiply that trua by three, and I get yet a tkiya. So what's the shear of a trua? Three very quick blasts. Du, du, du. That's it. Now multiply that by three, and you get nine quick blasts. That's going to be the shear of a tkiya. And thank God for that, because if it was three shvarim, that would be a much longer tkiya. I don't know how many people would be able to blow that tkiya, because that tkiya would be very, very long. So the Mishnah says, no, the tkiya doesn't have to be that long. It has to be equivalent to three times three. Three times three meaning the true itself is three very short blasts, And now you multiply that by 3, and you get the tekiah. Now some Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they think that when the Mishnah says Shir Trua Kisholosh Yivavos, it means we have to multiply that by 3. And the true itself has to be 3 times 3 short notes, which would mean da 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 da, then you got 9. Rashi seems to assume that in order to get a trua, all you need is 3 kolos bi'alma koldu. So a trua would be dot dot dot. Now that dot 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 is going to be the size or the length, if you will, of a tekiah according to Rashi. So that's really strange. So take a look at Tosfos right away on the very top, and Tosfos says Pirish Bekuntris Shlosha kolos bi'alma kol shehu. So that a trua is 3 very short notes, and in order to get a tekiah, how much? What are we going to multiply the trua by?
3.
So it's 3 times 3 is 9. Ulekaman daflamidalit. So let's take a break for a moment, and let's look for this Gemara on daflamidalit, so that we'll be able to appreciate this Tosfos. Now, where on Daf Lamed Daled do we have to look? If you take a look towards the bottom of the page, you're going to count up from the bottom 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So it seems like 9 is a very important number tonight. Atkin Rabbi Avo B'Kisri. Kisri is what we call today Caesarea. And it's a very ancient city. And the famous Amora, who presided over the courts in that great city, at that time it was a major citadel of Torah learning, was Rabbi Avo. Now what does the word itkin mean? Well, let's... Itkin is actually a verb. But every verb is made up of a noun. It's a conjugation of a noun. So what's the noun?
Takana,
exactly. So Rabbi Avo established the takana. And this happened in Kisri. So he gathered together the rabbis of Kisri and he instituted a takana. So what we have to figure out is what was going on before Rabbi Avo came to the scene, and what did Rabbi Avo establish in Kisri. So it says the following: Tkia Shlosha Shvarim Trua Tkia. This is what we call Tashrat, or again, as Tosfos calls it, Kash. He calls it Kashrak. Okay, so the Resh is always going to be a Trua, but instead of the Tuf as what as a Tkia, he has a Kuf.
Second letter.
Yeah, he has a second letter. So this was the Takana of Rabbi Yos, of Rabbi Avo. Now, why the Shvarim Trua? So Rabbi Avo explains. Manafshach. He says that if you blow both a Shvarim and a Trua, then as we would say in baseball, you cover your bases. You familiar with that phrase? I guess every country has their own phrase. But it means you cover all possibilities. What?
Actually, not really.
If you say it in Dutch, I won't understand the word, so don't. Be manafshach, he says. No matter what it is, you're okay. One possibility is that when the Torah says blow a trua, the Torah says yom trua yelachem. And this is a pasuk in Bamidbar Perkov Tes. I'll read the whole pasuk to you. It says, "Ubachodesh Hashvi'i," because what's the first month of the calendar year?
Nisan.
So the seventh month is Tishrei. So the Torah says, "Bachodesh Hashvi'i, bechad lachodesh," on the first of the month, "Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, kol alachas amod lo sasu, yom trua Yelachem." So the Torah identifies it as a day of trua. And the key of keys here is to understand what a trua is. One possibility of a trua is called Yilulei Yolil. It's a kind of a whimper, as we said before, a very short cry. So the Gemara says, if Trua is to be identified as a short cry, then which of the two should be the appropriate blast to blow on Rosh Hashanah? Either the Trua as we know it, those short notes, or the Shvarim, which are longer notes. So which one do you want? If you're going to say Yilulei Yolil, you want the shorter notes. So what did Rabbi Avoh do over here? Rabbi Avoh established that we should blow Shvarim Trua. Well, wait a minute. Mimanavshach, I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that a Trua is Yilulei Yolil, then the Gemara says, Li Evid Tkia Trua Tkia. We need a Tkia Blifanela, a Tkia Lachra. In the middle, we should have what we call a Trua, which are short notes. That's called Yilulei Yolil. Oh, but there's another possibility. We're not sure about it. We think that maybe Trua is Ginuche Gonach, which are long sighs. Oh, like that, a kvetch. Mm-hmm. Now, if that be the case, Li Evid Tkia Shlosha Shvarim, and then a Tkia. Now we have to figure out why the Gemara insists on three Shvarim. But before we get to the answer to that question, the Gemara is suggesting Tashat, which means Tkia, Shvarim, Tkia. So what is Rabbi Avoh telling me? There's got to be some secret that he's revealing with me. Because if he thinks that Trua is Yilulei Yolil, then he should be blowing Tarat. And if he thinks that Trua is Shvarim, which means Ginuche Gonach, then he should be blowing Tashat. Oh, here's the key of keys. Misafkale, we don't know. What is the Trua? I Ginuche Gonach, Yilulei Yolil. Is it what we call the Shvarim, the longer size? Right, S-I-G-H, right, size. Or is it Yilulei Yolil, the shorter whimpers? So now what he's going to do is he's going to cover his bases because he's going to blow both a Shvarim and a Trua. And Mimanavshach. Because if it's a Shvarim, meaning Ginuche Gonech, so he blew a Shvarim. And if it's Yilulei Yolil, he blew what? He blew a Trua. Because he blew both Shvarim and Trua. So the Gemara is not happy. Maskevle Rav Avira. Rav Avira attacks this and he says, Vidilma Yilulei Hava. On that side, there's a 50% chance that Trua should be identified as Yilulei Yolil, which means those shorter notes, as we call it Trua. Is then Kamafsik Shlosha Shmarim being Trua the Tkia.
He's breaking a break.
Correct, there's an interruption here that is separating the Trua from the Tkia. Again, according to Rabbi Avoh, he blows a Shvarim Trua, correct? Let's go back to Rabbi Avoh. Iskin Rabbi Avoh Bekisri Tkia Shlosha Shvarim Trua. Now, if it's Yilulei Yolil, if that's the real Trua, then the Tkia has to be followed immediately by the Trua. And instead he wedges in the middle what? A Shvarim. So the Gemara says that Dilma Yilulei Hava Vekom Mafsik Shlosha Shvarim. There are three Shvarim that are wedging between Bein Trua for the first Trua and Tkia, the Tkia that preceded that Trua, because between the Tkia that preceded the Trua and the Trua itself came three Shvarim. So the Gemara says that's no problem. Why? Because we misread Rabbi Avoh. Rabbi Avoh didn't mean to say that we're going to cover all our bases by blowing Tashrat. In addition to Tashrat, he's going to blow Tarat, which means Tkia, Trua, Tkia. So let's read that inside. On the second of the wide lines towards the bottom, which is five lines up before the end of the daf, the Gemara says, the Hadar Ovid, then he goes back and he does what? Tkia, Trua, Utkia. No, we can already guess what the next kash is going to be. Because right now we have Tashrat and we have Tarat. But what's going to be as far as what, Rabbi Osai? Which note is now going to be problematic? The Shvarim. Because if we hold Ginuche Ganich, if that's exactly what the Trua is, then he hasn't blown a Tkia Shvarim Trua. I'm sorry, a tkia, shvarim, tkia. Maskif lo Ravina. I don't know. Honestly, I can't figure out why Ravina had to wake up here. Where was Ravina before? Or why did Rav Avira go to sleep? I don't know. He says, V'dilma ginuche havi. Maybe the trua is these longer notes. V'kamafsika trua bein shvarim litkia. Right? Because what is Rabbi Avo advocate? He's got tashrat. If he has tashrat, so now we have a problem with the tkiya lachrel, right? Because tashrat means he started with the tkiya and then a shvarim, which is fine. But he would have to now blow a tkiya immediately after the shvarim. Instead, he blows a trua after the shvarim. So the Gemara answers, deka ovi tashat, that he's going to blow tkiya shvarim trua. Elo Rabbi Avo mai iskin. So then what was the big chiddush here and the big enactment of Rabbi Avo and Kisri? What's all the drama about? You're blowing a tashat, so you've covered Ginuche Ganuch, you're blowing a Tarat, which covers Yilule Yolil. So that's exactly what they did. I mean, they did that for generations and generations way before Rabbi Avo. So what did Rabbi Avo institute? Ah, the Gemara answers. Wait, I didn't get up to finish the question. So the Gemara asks, Mai Iskin, what did he add here? I Ginuche Ganuch, if it's Shvarim Ha'avdi, he blew the Shvarim. And the shvarim was preceded by a tkiya and succeeded by a tkiya. Iyule yalil, you need a trua ha'avdi. He did exactly that by blowing a tarat. So the tashat and the tarat will cover all our bases. So where did Rabbi Avo wake up one day? And the answer is misafkale dilma gonach v'yalil. Maybe the trua is an integration of both Ginuche Ganuch and Yilule Yolil. And therefore, he's going to blow a Tkia, and then a Shvarim Trua, and then a Tkia. So that's what Rabbi Avo adds over here. The Gemara says, if that's the case, Li Evid Nami Ipcha, we don't know which came first. Is the cry of a trua begins with Ginuche Ganuch and then it goes to Yule Yolil? Maybe it goes the other way around. So the Gemara says, Tkia Trua, Shlosh Shvarim Tkia, maybe we should start our trua with a trua and then go to the Shvarim. Dilma Yolil the Ganuch, maybe the Yolala came before the Ginuche Ganuch. The Gemara answers, Stama de Milsa. Ki misra be'inish milso, when something terrible nebuch happens to a person, bereish, what he does first is ganach. He starts with long sighs, and then he gets intensified. He gets into a frenzy, so to speak, vahadar, and therefore afterwards yolil, he starts crying and shaking and trembling with short notes. So that if a trua is a combination of both Yiluye Yolil and Ginuche Ganuch, the Ginuche Ganuch is going to have to come first and then Yiluye Yolil. So basically, which of the three sets did Rabbi Avo institute? Tashrat. Tav Shin Reish Tav, meaning Tkia Shvarim Trua Tkia. Before Rabbi Avo, we didn't know whether it was Ginuche Ganuch or Yilule Yolil. We covered our bases with a Tashat and a Tarat. And now we have to add a Tashrat. So Rabbi said, let's make a quick calculation. How many blasts, according to the Takana of Rabbi Avo, do we have to blow? Let's go slowly. Let's start with Tashat, with Shvarim. So Shvarim is made up of how many? We saw the Gemara says three. Okay, a Tkiya is one. The Shvarim is three. And then a Tkiya afterwards is another one. No. Let's not do it that way. Let's do it a different way. How many sets does he have to blow? Do you remember the opening word of that Mishnah? Shalosh, right? That means Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So that we know. So whatever number we come up with, we're going to have to multiply it by 3. So let's see if this works out. Tashat, okay, Tashat 3 times. Okay, so we need 3 Tashats. We're going to need 1 Tashat for Malchus, because of Yenuche Ganeth, 1 for Shofros, and one for what I leave out, Zichronos, correct? I didn't get that, was out of order. But, so we're going to now multiply for Tashat, we're going to multiply Tashat times 3. So how many blasts do you get? How many kolos do you have? A tkia, a shvarim, and a tkia. Multiply that by 3, because 1 for Malchus, 1 for Zichronos, Shofros. So how many you get? 9. Tarat?
Another 9.
Another 9. Tashrat?
Another 12.
Is 12. Is 9 and 9 is 18, and 12 is 30. So the magic number now is 30. Does everybody have that? Should I review that, or you have that? I mean, this is mamish exciting. I mean, I always heard about the 30 kolos, but I didn't know how you got to the number 30. Now we know how you get to the number 30. So that's what Tosfos is getting back to. How Tosfos at the beginning of this Mishnah, Tosfos says, "Ul kamon amrina de iskin Rabbi Avo bekisri kashrak kashak karak." Why mishum de mesupak betrua de kra? We don't know when the Tosfos says yom trua yelachem. What is that? What is that trua? E trua mamish. If it's a trua, masha anu korim trua. That's one possibility. So it's the short notes. Oh, perhaps it's shvarim, the genuche ganich, which are longer notes. And each one of the shvarim is equal to 3 truos. Oh, there's a third possibility. Shvarim u trua, shneim tzarech litrua. The dilma genuche ganich, vilule yolil. Hence, we end up with 30 kolos. Says Tosfos, v'tzarech li zoyer. Okay, now let me ask you a question. We're all geniuses, and therefore we came up with the number 30 after reading Rabbi Avo. Now let me read to you the Rambam. The Rambam tells us the following. This is Perek Yimel Mehilchus Shofar Alocha Alf. Kamat kios chayev adam l'shmar biyontem shal Rosh Hashanah. So the Rambam says, Teishat kios. We need 9 tkios. Lufisha Nemar Trua Biyovel Uberash Hashanah Sholosh Pa'amim. So how do we get Teisha tkios? The answer is because we require 3 truas. And each trua, as the Rambam is going to tell me in just a second, requires a tkia before it and a tkia afterwards. Correct? So the Rambam says the following: Lefisha Nemar Nemar Trua Biyovel Uberash Hashanah Shalosh Piyamim. And the Rambam says we have an equation between the blasting of the shofar on the Yovel to inaugurate the 50th Jubilee year and the blasting of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the Torah repeats itself 3 times. V'chol Trua Pshuta Lefanel Pshuta Lachrel. We piashmu along the shekol truos shall chodesh hashvi echad hein bein barash shana bein biyom hakipurim shall yovel. So we have exeris shavat to equate yovel with Rosh Hashanah, the true of Rosh Hashanah. So how do we arrive at the number 9 here? The Rambam says that you have to hear 9 tkios. I think when he says 9 tkios, he means 9 kolos. He doesn't use the word tkia to exclude a trua. Because he says, Teisha tkios, tokim, b'chal echad mishneem, meaning on both Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, tkia, trua, tkia, tkia, trua, tkia, tkia, trua, tkia. So that's 9. Okay. So on a Daraisa level, before we have the suffix about what exactly the Trua is, if we would know exactly what a Trua is, how many blasts of the shofar minimum would we require on Rosh Hashanah to fulfill our mitzvah d'oraisa?
Nine.
Why? Because trua has to be multiplied three times, and each trua requires a tkiah lefaneo and a tkiah lachreo. That's what he says here. He says, shalosh pamim trua, v'chal trua pshuta lefaneo, pshuta means a tkiah, upshuta lachreo. So we have three truas, each one is sandwiched by a tkiah, so therefore we have nine notes, nine blasts. That's halacha aleph in the Rambam. Now we get to halacha beis. Trua zu hamura b'torah nistapek lanu ba. With regard to the true, we have a doubt. Lufi orech hashanim v'rov hagolios, because so much time has passed by, and we were in such exiles, we lost the transmission of exactly what the trua is. Ein ani yodim hechi. Im hi hayalala shemiyalalim hanoshim binihiyasan bi'eis shemiyabmin. So these are the crying, the short crying notes. Oha anacha, which we call a kvetch, a sigh, kiderch shienach adam, pam acher pam, kishi yidag libo midover gol, when he's afraid of something very chaschon, very catastrophic. Oh, Shneim ke'echad, hanocha v'ayilola. See, I would not have figured out this Rambam until we went through the Gemara. Shekach darka, he says, hanocha v'ayilola in that sequence, the hanocha, which is the long note first, and then the ilola, shedarka lov achreha, that after a hanocha, then he starts with the ilola. Hey, my nikroim true. Shekein derech hadoeg misanech tchila v'yakach miyale. Lefichach, anu osim hakol. So we're going to do everything. So what does that mean, we do everything? So the Rambam explicates it. He says, hayilola hishanu korim trua, hanocha, zu achar zu, hishanu korim osa shlosha shmorim. Nimtza, Seder Hatkios Kachu. Here's how we're going to blow the shofar. Mivarech, first he makes the bracha. Tokea Tkia, Viachreha Shlosha Shvarim, Viachreha Trua, Vachreha Tkia. Vichozer Kiseder Hazesh Shalosh Piyamin. So he's got a Tkia, Shvarim, Trua, Tkia. Those are four blasts, and he blows it three times. Once for Malchus, once for Zerod Shokos, so we now have 12. V'chozek is Seder Azesh Al Shpion. And he repeats it three times. So three times four is 12. Then, Tokea Tkia Vachrea Shlosh Shvarim, Vachrea Tkia. So that has only three notes to it, three kolos. That's Tkia, Shvarim, and Tkia. V'chozek is Seder Azesh Al Shpion. He has to repeat the Shvarim three times. So that gives us 9. So now we're up to 9 and 12 is 21. V'tokea tkiya v'achrea trua v'achrea tkiya. So now you have tkiya, trua, tkiya. Again, three kolos. V'chozik k'seder hazeh shalosh piyamim. And now we have another 9. Is 21 plus 9 is 30. Nimtza, the Rambam now refuses to rely on our arithmetic expertise, and he says, "Minyan atkios shloshim kidei l'stalik min asofik," meaning to cover all our bases. As we don't know the nature of the trua, we're going to blow 30 kolos. So I found this Rambam a little bit odd. I mean, the presentation of the Rambam is very beautiful, very clear, but I was bothered by the fact that the Rambam would not rely on our ability to calculate and come up with the number 30. You know, he has to spell out that the number is 30. That I found a little bit strange. So Rabosai, there's a gigantic tosis here that we began, and I want to cut it into little pieces. Because if we try to learn this tosis from beginning to the end, straight kasei there, then I think we'll get a little bit scared. It will be a little bit overwhelmed. So with your permission, I want to speak about two paragraphs in this long Tosa I want to isolate. Both of them are what we call Zahirus. Zahirus meaning he's warning us to be very careful about how we blow the shofar. So the first one I want to start with is actually the last paragraph in this Tosa. So if you count up from the bottom of the Tosa, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. So in the middle of that fifth line up, you'll see the words Vitzarech L'dagdek. And he's trying to make us very careful. Be osan shloshim kolos. Regarding the 30 kolos, sha'anu tokim b'yeshiva, that we begin with 30 kolos b'yeshiva. Now, our minhag is that we stand for the first 30 kolos.
Starting sitting.
Yeah, the Ashkenazim also sit. Even though they stand, they sit. What do I mean? Halachically, they're sitting. Physically, they're standing. But al pi din, it's called tkios de miyushav. Later, we're going to have another set of blasts that are integrated into the Musaf Shmona Esrei. Those are called the tkios de me'umot. Our entire focus today now is on the tkios de miyushav, which are blown before Musaf. Okay, now why are we blowing 30 blasts before Musaf? We haven't even gotten yet to Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars. The answer is, first of all, we want to cover the Doraisa. We want to make sure that we fulfill the mitzvah Doraisa, which requires 3 truos, and each one of those truos requires a tequila fener, tequila achrela, and we want to make sure that we have every possible truo. Whether it's the Trua, whether it's the Shvarim, whether it's the Shvarim Trua, that we have to have. Oh. Now Tosis asks the following question. Tosis says, why do we need 30 kolos? Why can't the last tkia serve as a double capacity? Let it serve as the tkia lachrel, and also at the same time, it's tequila fanel, meaning the following. Let's say I blow a tashat. So I blew a tekiah, shvarim, tekiah. Now I'm ready to blow a tarat, a trua, a tekiah, trua, tekiah. Why not just blow the following? Tekiah, shvarim, tekiah, trua, tekiah. And I dropped one tekiah. Why? Because there's no need to complete the set of Shvarim with a Tekiah and then begin the next set of Truah with another Tekiah. I can collapse the two. Why? Because the Truah is either Ginuche Ganich or Yilulei Yolil. Again, later we'll have the combination thereof. That's going to be the Tashrat. But right now we're not up to Tashrat. I'll blow the Tashrat and that'll be fine. But now I'm blowing Tashat and Tarat. So I want to cover Shvarim, which is Ginuchei Ganich, and I want to cover Yiluyei Lolil, which is the Trua. So why don't I just have a Tekiah? Now I don't know which I don't know exactly, you know, up in Himmel, you know, how they're calculating what is that Tekiah? But it's one of two things. Either it's the Tekiah Liachrel of the Shvarim that I just blew, or it's the Tekiah Lefanel of the Trua that I'm about to blow. But there's no need to blow twice. So if we want to be very stingy about it, we can reduce it by subtracting 2 tekiahs. Again, in Tashrat, we're not going to be able to do this. Why? Because in Tashrat, we're worried about the possibility that the Trua is a combination of both Yilulei Yolil and Ginuchei Ganech. So it's both a Shvarim and a Trua. So that Shvarim Trua needs a tequila fanet and a tequila achrel. But at least I can subtract 2 tequilas. I can subtract... No, just 1 second. I made a mistake. Let me just work this out again. I'm sorry. If I blow Tashat, and then Tarat, and then Tashat, Tashrat, so I can blow, let's say, the tequila after the Shvarim, will also serve as the tekiah before the trua. Correct? So now I'm going to subtract 1 tekiah. Now I have the tashat. And then No, so I'll need the second tekiah after the trua, right? Because if it's what do you call it? If it's yilul yolil, then I need the trua, and it's got to be a tekiah, what the Rambam calls a pshuta lachrem. But now it might be both ginuchei ganich. I can't drop the tekiah. So 1 minute. So now, can I drop the second tekiah and just have one tekiah to introduce tashrat? Because mimonavshach, if it's really yilulei yolil, then that tekiah will serve as the pshuta lachrea for the trua. And if it's both ginuchei ganech and yilulei yolil, then that tekiah will serve as the pshuta lefanel. So it's either pshuta lachrea or the pshuta lefanel. So basically I can drop two tekiahs. I can drop the tekiah at the end of tashat, correct? Yeah. And just suffice with the tekiah at the beginning of tarat, and then mimonavshach. So I've already subtracted one tekiah. Now I can subtract, long time no see, now I can subtract another tekiah, meaning the tekiah between the tarat and the tashrat, I don't need that tekiah, because again I can say mimonavshach, either that tekiah will serve as the closing tekiah of the tarat, or as the opening tekiah of the tashrat. So memela, I can reduce my number by two. That's Tosis's cash. So Tosis says, Lama lishtei tekiyos. You see, this is four lines up from the bottom. Lama lishtei tekiyos zuachar zu mimonavshach yiftar b'tekiyachas. Instead of blowing one tekiyah at the end of the previous seder and another tekiyah to introduce the seder afterwards, one tekiyah will suffice. And Tosis calls that mimonavshach. What's the mimonavshach here? No matter how you slice the cake, you're okay. Dei ganach v'yolil. Hare yotza b'shlosha kashra v'i gonach l'chud is osa tekiah achrona shel tashrak is achron is talalo l'minyan kashak v'chein im yolil osa tekiah achrona shel kashak achron talalo l'minyan kashak. Satosis says, if you're going to ask me the question, why do we have to have 30 kolos? Why not reduce it by two and we can drop two tekiyos? Because if you're logically operating with Hilchos Sfeikos, then all you need is one tekiyah between each set. And that tekiyah can either go mili el or mili ra, right? It can either go for the one before or the one after. So Tosa says v'shema, but perhaps kevan sha'asu a tekiyah l'shem pshuta sheli achar trua. Once he blows that tekiah, let's say he's blowing tashat, right? So why is he blowing that tekiah after the trua? That becomes a pshuta lachrea. And that's what his kavana was. That's what his intention was. Is therefore a rotzu shetala l'shem pshuta lefanel. They didn't want the same tekiah that you blasted as a closing of liachrea of the previous set to also become a pshuta shelefanel. So Rabosa, you're following the logic of Tosis. Basically Tosis says you can reduce the number of blasts and subtract two tekiahs, and you would have covered all your possibilities. However, they wanted to establish in such a way that each tekiah would be defined by its own character, its own nature. It's either a tekiah lefanel or it's a tekiah lachrea. But you can't use a single tekiah to be both at the same time a lachrea of the previous set and a lefanel introducing the next set. Why not? He doesn't tell you why not. He admits that logically there's no hechrech, there's nothing forcing us to say that we can't kill two birds with one stone and have that tekiah mimonavshach be the one, be the lachrea of the previous set or the lefanel of the other set. But they didn't want it that way. They wanted to establish you know, like what we call a gestempel, you know, put a seal on the, on a name, an identity tag on the tekiah. And they wanted to identify each tekiah as either a tekiah lefanel or a tekiah lachareha. But on both sides, remember I told you before that I found it very strange that the Rambam calculates for us exactly how many tekiahs we have to bless. And the Rambam's language was Nimtza Minyan HaTekiah Shloshim. And I said to myself, why does the Rambam have to tell me something that a child, a 5-year-old child, can calculate? Because if you add 9 and 9 and 12, you get 30. And the Rambam is not known, you know, to expand his language. He's a very short, you know, very tight-lipped guy, the Rambam. A very quiet fellow. He's very reserved. But now I think I have an answer. Why does the Rambam insist on telling me that there has to be 30 kolos? Why would you think you could drop 2 kolos? Because of suffix. The thrust of the Rambam is to work out the suffix. We don't know if trua is A, B, or C. Is trua yulule yolil, which is our trua? Is it genuche gonich, which is our shmarim? Is it a combination thereof? No, so you could cover all those three possibilities with 28 kolos, and you could drop 2 kolos. So the Rambam says no. There has to be 30 kolos. Now the question is why? Why do they have to be 30 kolos? So on both sides, I'm going to use the blackboard for a second if I can find a marker here. Does anybody see a marker? Here, I found one. Let's see if it works. Okay, I'm going to write down the following 2 phrases and tell me if this makes sense to you. Can you read my handwriting? Bitoras Safeg, Bitoras Vadai. What's the difference between these two? Let me give you an example of what I have in mind. Back in the day, when there was what's called Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah, they had to wait for the witnesses to come and testify that they saw the new moon. There was Sfeika D'Yom, right? Any month in the lunar calendar could be the 29 days, that's called Chaser, or it could be 30 days, that's called Mole. And there was no way of knowing up front when the moon would appear. So we had to wait till 2 witnesses would testify. The word didn't get out to the far-flung, you know, exiles, you know, Jewish communities, until way after Yontif. So they didn't know which day of the month was Yontif. So because of that suffix, they instituted what we call Yontif Sheni. We should all hear, remember Yontif Sheni from the old days. Okay. So I don't mind celebrating 2 days Purim, because Harnof used to be a suffix. Now they determined that Harnof is part of Yushalayim. But 2 Sedarim is a little bit much for me. But my in-laws claim they love a second Seder, you know, so when they get to Eretz Yisrael here for Pesach, it's hard for them, you know, without the second Seder. For me, Marar one night is enough, but okay. So that's called Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golos. Now, how do I treat that? Do I treat that as a suffix or do I treat that as a vada? Let me ask you a question. I'm on the second night of Pesach and I'm eating matzah in Amsterdam, right? I'm eating matzah. Do I make a bracha on that matzah? Do you make a bracha on a suffix? The rule is suffix bracha slahakel. And I can give you many examples of this. So what we see is that although in the original evolution of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golos, it was Bitoras Safek, but nevertheless it took on the complexion of Bitoras Vadai. And then Afkamina said, you make a bracha. So here's what I want to ask you. when Rabbi Yavoh calculated exactly how we should blow, because of the suffix that we have, the threefold suffix about the nature of Trua. So now we establish that we have to blow in such a way that there won't be any suffix anymore. So how did he establish his takana, right? His skin, Rabbi Yavoh b'Kisri. Did he say, well, let's approach this from the perspective of suffix? And every year on Rosh Hashanah, when we decide how and how many blasts to blow, we're going to consider the suffix. We're going to try to calculate it in such a way that we cover all the possibilities. Or did he say no? That this is the way we're going to establish it? B'toras vada.
Oh,
what's going to be the nafkamina? What's the difference between calling it the Torah Safik and the Torah Svadai?
If you can omit those two kolos?
Exactly. If I'm going to say it's the Torah Safik, then I could blow 28 blasts and I can cover all my bases. But if he established a brand new mitzvah, which means that every single possibility of what Trua is now is called the Trua. So when you blow the short notes, that's called our Trua. That's called the Trua. When you blow the longer notes, which is called Shvarim, which is Genuche Gerach, that's a Trua. And when you blow a Shvarim Trua, you also blow a Trua. And it's not that in every case I'm going to consider like a suffix. No, I'm going to expand my definition of a Trua, and now a Trua is going to be defined in three different ways. And if the Trua is defined in three different ways, then I have to be mekayim what's called pshuta lefaneh and pshuta lachreh for each one of these three Truas. And that's the number 30. So it's not that the Rambam was trying to make life easier for me because I don't know how to add 9 plus 9 plus 12, but rather the Rambam wanted to tell us that the takon of Rabbi Yavoh was b'toras vadai. And if the takon of Rabbi Yavoh is b'toras vadai, it means that there are three definitions of Trua, and it's not, well, I don't know which definition is correct, but all three are correct. And each one is a Trua, b'toras vadai. Again, on a Doraisa level, certainly it's a suffix. And on a Doraisa level, you could get away with 28 blasts and cover all your possibilities. You wouldn't know which one was the real Trua. But midrabanan, you're going to have to blow 30 kolos.
Like something which is koach the Rabbanan to do this? Or?
Yes. And the Rabbanan could establish a suffix into a vada. They could transform a suffix into a vada. My prime example, but there are many examples, would be Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. When I approach Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, I'm not going to do it b'toras suffix. Imagine not putting, you don't put on tefillin in Chutz Laretz on the 8th day of Pesach. Here, we're eating chametz. There, they're not even wearing tefillin. How do you do such a thing? The answer is that the Chachamim made Yontav Sheni Shel Golias into a day of Vada Yontav. Why did they do so? I don't know. It's very similar to what we're going to say about Rosh Hashanah. You remember Rosh Hashanah is called the Yom HaRichta. In other words, we're not going to say that each day of Rosh Hashanah is a suffix. We're going to consider it as one long, you know. Here too, Rabbi Yavoh instituted, and now the word takana makes so much sense. Because if Rabbi Yavoh's big chiddush, his breakthrough, was just to tell you that there's a possibility of both Yilui Yolil and Genuche Ganef together, Shkayach, okay, I wouldn't call that a takana. That's not a takana. That's another suffix. He added a third suffix into the equation. We had one suffix if it's the Trua. Another suffix, it's the Shvarim. Now we have a third suffix if it's Shvarim Trua. But I wouldn't call that a takana. The answer is the takana makes it into a vadai. And now the Torah's vadai, I have to fulfill the takana of Rabbi Yavoh, and I have to blow no less than what? Than 30 kolos. Why? So Tosis gives an answer because he's going to have kavana for this tkiya to be a tkiya lachreah. And therefore he can't now convert it into a tkiya lefaneh. But we're saying it a little bit sharper than that. What we're saying is that we need a tkiya lachreah. Why? Because the Chachamim said that you treat that yiluya yolil as a vadai. And if it's a vadai trua, it's got to be covered by a tkiya lachreah. And then you get to the next set, let's call it Shvarim. And once again, the Shvarim is your Trua. If the Shvarim is your Trua, so again, I need both Tkios here. The Tkia, that's the Lachrea of one Trua, and the Tkia, that's Lefanel of another Trua. Not that I don't know which one is the Trua, but they both are Trua. The Shvarim is a Trua, the Trua is a Trua, and the Shvarim Trua is a Trua. And that's the great Chiddush of the Rambam, and according to the Rambam, the great Chiddush of Rabbi Avo. Now let's go back to the beginning of Tosus and another Vitzarech Lizoyer. This is about 8 lines down from the top. He says, Tzarech Lizoyer b'shvarim shelo yeh marich kol echad b'fnei atzmo kegimel yevamos. Yevamos. He says you have to be very careful not to blow the shvarim too long. Because if the shvarim become too long, then they become a tkia. You convert a shvarim into a tkia. So if, for example, each one of the three shvarim you extend to gimel yevavos, shel shlosha kolos, kol shehu, right, so let's go over this. Rashi said that the shear of a tkia is equal to shalosh truos, right? And Rashi says the shalosh truos here means three kolos kaldahu. So now, if you multiply three kolos kaldahu by three to get your trua, so you have nine short blasts, correct? Now the shever is meant to be equal to three blasts. Now if he's marich, so he has gibel yevamos of shlosha kolos, and then it becomes a tkiah. Dimkei nasa tkiah velo shvarim. Dashir tkiah kitrua ushir trua is kigimel yevamos. So Tosus wants us to be very careful and not to blow the shvarim too long. That's this part of Tosus. So B'li Neder next week, what time is it now? Okay, we have 2 more minutes. Next week, I would B'li Neder like to cover this Vitzarech Lizoyer again. And I just want to add one thing that I found here in the Harei Kedem. We'll see if I can find it now. Yeah. He says the following. Yeah, this is someone who wrote notes in Rav Soloveitchik's shir, and based on his notes, he presents this presentation. And he says the following. He says, okay, I don't know, let's open the door so if they start Meirav, I'll stop so we don't miss Baruchu, right? So he says the following. He says, "Kevan shenistapek chachamim lechachamim trua zu hamura b'torah mahi." Since the chacham didn't know what the trua is, haremi takanta derabbi avo nasu kol sveke truos litruos vadoyos. He converted every suffek and upgraded it into the level of avadai. Umirabanan kol echad mechuyav, every individual is obligated begimel mine truos. That's shvarim trua, shvarim and trua. Is memela kol echad mechuyav begimel starim shleimim, because each one of them is called a trua. So therefore, he needs teisha tkios lechol seder v'seder shel trua im tkiyah lefanel utrua lachra achenimtsa minyan. Hakolos shlosh. Okay then? So we'll stop, Yishka. Thank you so much.